All my life, I had wanted to get out. I was unoriginal in this. All the tasks felt the same, but separate from them, separate from all of Lochless, I possessed the means. I was a strange child. I talked before I walked, though I never talked much, because more than anything, I watched and remembered. I would hear others speak, but I did not so much hear them as see them, their words taking form before me as pictures, chains of colors, lines, textures, and shapes that I could store inside of me. And it was my gift, too, at a moment's beckoning, retrieve the images and translate them back into the exact words with which they had been conjured. By the time I was 5, I could, having only heard it once, holler out a work song, its calls and responses, and to that add my own improvisations, all to the wide-eyed delight of my elders. I had individual names for individual beasts, marked by where I had seen them, the time of day, and what the animal was doing, so that one deer was grass in spring, and another broken oak branch. And so it was with the pack of dogs that the older one so often warned me of, but they were not a pack to me, but each singular, singular even if I never saw them again, singular as any lady or gentleman whom I never saw again, for I remembered them too. And there was never a need to tell me any story twice, because if you told me that Hank Powers cried for 3 hours when his daughter was born, I remembered. And if you told me that Lucille Sims made a new dress out of her mother's work clothes for Christmas, I remembered. And if you spoke of that time Johnny Blackwell pulled a knife on his brother, I remembered. And if you told me all the ancestors of Horace Collins and where in Elm County they were born, I remembered. And if Jane Jackson recited all her generations, her mother, her mother's mother, every mother stretching all the way to the edge of the Atlantic, I remembered. So it was natural that I recall, even in the maw of the goose, even after the bridge fell away and I stared down my own doom, that this was not my first pilgrimage to the Blue Door. Yet it happened before. It had happened when I was 9 years old, the day after my mother was taken and sold. I awoke that cold winter morning knowing she was gone, as a fact. But I had no pictures, no memory of any goodbye, indeed, no pictures of her at all. Instead, I recalled my mother in the second hand, so that I was sure that she had been taken in the same way that I was sure that there were lions in Africa, though I had never seen one. I searched for a fully fleshed memory and found only scraps, screams, pleading, someone pleading with me, the strong smell of horses, and in the haze of it all, an image flickering in and out of focus, a long trough of water. I was terrified, not simply because I had lost my mother, but because I was a boy who remembered all his yesterdays in the crispest colors and textures so rich I could drink them, and there I was, awakening with a start to nothing but ephemera, shadows, and screams. I must get out. This also came to me as a feeling more than a thought. There was an ache, a breach, a stripping of me that I knew I had been helpless to prevent. My mother was gone, and I must follow. So that winter morning, I put on my Osnaburg shirt and pants, then slipped my arms into my black coat and tied up my brogans. I walked out onto the street, the common area between two long rows of gabled log cabins where those of us who tasked in the tobacco field made our homes. An icy wind cut up the dusty ground between the quarters and slashed at my face. It was a Sunday, 2 weeks after holiday, in the small hours just before sunrise. In the moonlight, I could see smoke rising up in white puffs out of the cabin chimneys, and behind the cabins, trees black and bare swaying drunkenly in the whistling wind. Were it summer, the street would have, even at that hour, been alive with garden trade, cabbages and carrots dug up, chicken eggs collected to be bartered or even taken up to the main house and sold. Lem and the older boys would have been out there with fishing poles on their shoulders, smiling, waving to me and yelling, "Come on, hi!" as they headed for the goose. I would have seen Arabella there with her brother Jack, sleepy-eyed, but soon to be plucking marbles in a dirt ring they'd drawn up between two cabins. And Thina, the meanest woman on the street, might have been sweeping her front yard, beating out an old rug, or rolling her eyes and sucking her teeth at someone's foolishness. But it was winter in Virginia, and all in possession of good sense were huddled inside by the fires. So when I walked outside, there was no one on the street, no one peering out the door of their quarters, no one to grab my arm, swat my bottom twice, and yell, "Hi, this cold about to be the death of you, and where is your mama, boy?"